just want to welcome you all here today on Christmas Eve. We're glad that you could make it in person or in the parking lot or at your homes, maybe watching later. You think we're recording it for posterity? No, so that you can celebrate with us. Today we're celebrating Jesus' birth, and tomorrow we will be. I just have a little book I want to read from. It kind of rhymes, so it's good for the kids. But it tells the story of Jesus as we go about our journey with our choruses today. Mary was at home when a mighty angel came. She was scared, but he said, "Gabriel is my name. Do not be afraid. God is sending you his son. He will live on earth, and you will be his mom." Bethlehem was packed. Not one inn had space, so Mary and Joseph slept in the angel's place. The animal's place, not the angel's, sorry. But the angels were there too. We're going to continue singing. If you want to stand with us, you're welcome to. If you're able.
Oh,
going to continue singing, but first we're going to read about Mary, who had her baby. Mary had her son, and as he did not have a bed, she put him in a manger where the animals were fed. An angel had told Joseph what to name the boy. They called the baby Jesus and were filled with joy. While Bethlehem's people were fast asleep, shepherds in the fields watched over their sheep. Suddenly, a light shone down on the frightened men, and angels told them of the child born in Bethlehem. The shepherds ran in from the fields to find this child. When they saw the scene, they stopped and smiled. Mary was surprised and let the shepherds see. Amazed, they said, "Someday he will set all the people free." Wise men saw a star, huge and bright. They set out to follow it on that very night. The wise men found the place where the star shone overhead. Mary led them in to see Jesus in his bed. They gave him special gifts given to kings of old, frankincense and myrrh, and a box of precious gold. Jesus grew up to be an amazing, perfect man. He died for our sins, as had always been God's plan. And Mary thought of those who were there at Jesus' birth. They knew, even them, that he would save the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Advent?
Going to be reading from Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1, and we're going to go to 20. And today we're going to be lighting the Christ candle, which is the big one in the middle. And obviously, as we celebrate the coming of God in the flesh, the incarnation in Jesus Christ. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared, with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Father, today we come here and gather together, and we just remember this momentous occasion when you sent your son, when you came in the incarnation. And so we just pray that tomorrow would be a day reminding us of the flesh that you took on while being fully divine, and it would lead to the sacrifice that we'd make later on for our sins. So we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Stand with us one more time as we welcome Jesus.
Come, the long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free from our fears and sins, release us. Love. you saw to the other side. Knowing this was our salvation, Jesus, for our sake you died.
Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. And the morning that you rose, all of heaven held its breath. Till that stone was moved for good from the Lamb that conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe. For the souls of all who come to the Father are restored. And the church of Christ was born. Then the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of old shall not kneel and shall not faint. By his blood and in his freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. Praise forever to the King of Kings.
You may be seated.
All right, I'll begin by saying Merry Christmas, everyone. It is good to see everyone here tonight. It's always one of those nights that you're like, I don't know, is this going to be massively attended or are we going to be sparsely attended? So it's great to see you. I'm going to read quickly from Matthew chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 to 12, and I'm just going to talk about the passage just a little bit. It says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He had sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child and his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. A little disclaimer here, if you are a big fan of the Christmas Carol, the First Noel, and We Three Kings, I may take a little shot at them tonight that proves they're not necessarily speaking what they should be speaking according to Scripture. Anyways, this evening we begin with a journey for men who are called magi in our text. And one thing we know about magi is they are quite mysterious. These men are wise in general, however. They're known as astrologers. They're students of the stars. They like to look up at the sky and just determine what's kind of going on based off of the stars and sometimes looking for signs and such. But what can we know of them and what can we not know about them? So I want to start with what we don't know about the Magi. Traditionally, it's been stated that there's three kings that were a part of this entourage. And you can't really blame people for thinking this, as there's three gifts that are given to Jesus. We're not told how many Magi were in the company, however. For all we know, this company could have had 30 men, or it could have been the three men. The Magi are not even called kings, so we don't know if they're royal. I guess we kind of missed the mark, like I say, with the song, We Three Kings. We don't know their names. Did you know they had traditional names? I didn't know this. I was kind of researching and discovering it, but they do. People believe their names were Melkon or Melchior, Balthazar, and Gaspar. So, like I say, I've never heard them before, but traditionally, that is the name of these Magi. There's just a lot of what we don't know about them. They're mysterious. But the things we do know about them is what we need to focus on, is we know they came from the east. And this is a broad statement in itself, so they could have come from like Babylon or Persia or any other place, really. And once again, it kind of points out some flaws within our carols. The first Noel states that these men, they looked up and saw a star shining in the east, beyond them far. So if they're coming from the east, how is the star shining in the east? It needs to be shining for in the west for these eastern magi. And so in Matthew 2:1, it reads, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem." So like I say, they're from the east. These magi, they're high-ranking officials of some sort. They have great power, great influence. And we know this by the expensive gifts that they actually bring Jesus. They're not some sort of weird stargazing group, however. They're well-respected men that held prominent roles in religion, science, and politics in whatever land they came from. The book of Daniel gives us a glimpse of what these men may have been like, and it shows us that they are highly influenced by Jewish teachings. They studied the stars, and their studies led them on a journey to worship the one born king of the Jews. So think of that. They had this great knowledge of the scriptures from Judaism. As we read that they head to Jerusalem, and they begin asking questions around there. Obviously, some aspects of the scriptures evade them. Some of the prophecies they don't necessarily understand because they're unaware of the promised location of the Messiah. I just want to pause for a second and just understand what their basic understanding of scripture possibly was. They probably understood the book of Numbers. This is not a favorite book of too many people. But they knew what it said. In Numbers, we're told that the journey of God's people, the Israelites, as they head from Mount Sinai to the edge of the promised land, and as they traveled, the Israelites, they grew in power and might. Balak, the king of the Moabites, he had taken notice of this large mass of people, and he was very frightened by the Israelites. So Balak decides to send Balaam, his magician seer, to curse the house of Jacob and the people of Israel. Numbers 22:6 says, "Therefore, please come at once, curse this people for me, for they are too mighty for me. Perhaps I shall be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land, for I know that he whom you bless is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed." And that's Balak talking to Balaam there. But God, he intervenes in a major way as Balaam's traveling on his way to curse the Israelites. And I mean, it's a major way. He uses a talking donkey to get the attention of Balaam. That's got to be quite the thing. And unfortunately, because of the movie Shrek, I kind of always have that voice in mind when the donkey talks in Numbers. But Balaam, he's heading on his way, and the Lord just appears to him and tells him to bless Israel instead of cursing Israel. And so Balaam did. He blessed him three times. And in Numbers 24:16-17, we read his final blessing as it says, "The utterance of him who hears the word of God and has the knowledge of the Most High, who sees the vision of the Almighty, who falls down with eyes wide open. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel and batter the brow of Moab and destroy all the sons of tumult." So this is the passage that these magi know about. They understand that the star shall come out of Jacob. And so this is what they're looking for. It's a prophetic word, and it's one that presents the picture of the anointed one, the Messiah, who is Jesus, and who is to come. So the Magi are very familiar with this story. And this is the star that they gazed out upon the heavens looking at for, and it brought them to this expectation of the birth of Jesus. And when they saw it, they traveled east. Or sorry, they traveled west, following the star west. Isaiah 60, verses 1 to 6 also points out this shining light that is to be the marker of the Savior that is to come. But here's the true shocker in the moment for Matthew's readers. As, you know, once again, this is Matthew's kind of writing for people who are very much with a Jewish background. And so they're reading this. And they're reading about these magi that come from the east. Which is mind-blowing for them as this nation that is not from Israel, this non-Israelite nation, sees these prophetic signs sent from God, and it is the nation that responds. It's not Israel that responds. It's a completely other nation. Think about that. Jesus, the anointed one, the king from David's line that will rule forever, the one that the Israelites have been waiting for their entire lives, was worshipped by other nations first as they bowed down to him. And so this is a clear picture that Matthew is sending, as he wants it to be known that Jesus is the Messiah for all nations. He is the Savior King for everyone. He's not just the King of the Jews. He's the King of all, the whole world. The Magi, they had traveled hundreds, maybe thousands of miles in order to find the star, in order to find the King. And it led them to Jerusalem where they asked about the one born King of the Jews. And sadly, no one knew of what these astrologers had observed. Remember, these guys aren't even Israelites. Yet they're the ones looking for the signs. And it's quite interesting when you think about the reactions of the people within Luke, as there's two very different responses to this miraculous star. And they contrast. As we see how the scholars of Jerusalem respond, these are the ones that should know better. They're the teachers of the prophecies, of the laws. They should know their scriptures. They should be able to easily understand the prophecies of the scriptures. And yet they don't even leave Jerusalem, really. They maintain there. They're not really looking for the king. They're looking for the king in order to probably, or they're looking for this baby that Herod wants them to look for so he can have him bumped off. They're not looking for the one born King of the Jews. Instead, they inform of what his birthplace will be in Bethlehem. But the Magi's response to the prophecy is one that I think is quite spectacular. As we read in Matthew chapter 2, verse 10, as it says, "When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy." These Magi, they're super excited for even having seen the star and where it was leading them. And then upon seeing the baby Jesus, it was the full culmination of their long journey they traveled miles upon miles. And there he is right before them. It is the most important night for them. And upon arriving at the house, not at the major scene, did you catch that one? When they arrive at the house, Jesus was probably a year and a half old. As we look at what the verse tells us, our text tells us in verse 11, as Mary and Joseph, they're situated in a house at the time. And so, no offense to those lovely little nativity scenes that we have, the shepherds were the one that were gathered as baby Jesus is in the manger. It's not the Magi. But the Magi, they were so super pumped to be meeting this probably year and a half year old boy, and to be meeting the king who had been prophesied about in Numbers and Isaiah, and of course other prophets. So they enter the house and they begin to immediately worship Jesus. They bow down and worship him, the Savior King. Verse 11 we read, and when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These are noblemen from other nations, brilliant scientists, high-ranking officials, and they bow down and worship the baby called Jesus. Have you ever bowed down to anyone in your life? Has that ever happened where you bow down to somebody? It's not really a part of our culture, is it? I'm thinking nobody here has. Bowing down is a statement that you make as it indicates that someone is superior to you. They bow down and worship Jesus as they cast aside their selfish pride. And after worshiping Jesus, they gave him gifts, as gift giving was customary when approaching a superior. And these gifts they bring would shame us by how much they give to the Savior King. Their generosity, fantastic. They gave him gold, as this emphasized Jesus' royalty, and gold is associated with kings, queens, and princes and princesses, all that kind of group. Jesus is king, and Matthew has made that very clear to his readers from the very beginning as he took us through the genealogy which made the line of King David. And he makes it very clear here with the gift emphasize of gold. Jesus is born king, and Jesus eternally remains king after his resurrection. Frankincense is also given to Jesus, and frankincense is a gift that symbolically emphasizes Jesus' deity. Jesus is God in the flesh, and frankincense was something that was used in worship of God in the Old Testament. It was stored in the chamber of sanctuary. And of course, myrrh was the other gift that was given to Jesus. And this was the gift that emphasized humanity. Myrrh is a perfume. And if you recall, or maybe you're finding out for the first time, it was what was mixed with wine as Jesus hung on the cross and given to him. And so myrrh gives us a foretaste of Jesus' impending death. Jesus, he was born to die. I guess Merry Christmas. Jesus took on the payment and penalty of our sins as he took them upon himself. But then again, Matthew already told us that Jesus was born to do this. As he wrote in Matthew 1:21 that Jesus came to save his people from their sins. So one thing I want you to know in this Christmas season is that God loves the world. He loves you. He loves me. He loves us so much that he sent his son to live life. A perfect obedience. A life that we could not live. And then his son died the death that we deserve to die. As Jesus would then rise from the grave, as he had victory over sin and death. So whoever believes in him will never perish, but have eternal life. It was something that all started in Bethlehem. And the Magi traveled great distances to see this great miracle. So we need to be like the Magi. We need to put aside our pretense, put aside our pride. We need to bow down and worship the one true King, the eternal King, Jesus Christ. join me in prayer as I invite the worship team to come back up. And just one final note. We are going to conclude with the singing of Silent Night. And when that is done, our service will be concluded. I will just allow that to be our finishing number because I feel that is good enough. Anyways, Father, we thank you that we can gather today and celebrate the birth of your Son as he came here, born a king already. He came here to do the work that we can't do on our own. So we just pray that as we reflect on this Christmas, that we remember the message of what it really is and not to what it's turned to as it's kind of chaotic. May we be like the magi or the wise men. May we bow down our knee and worship you. Pray this in your name. Amen.
A lot of times we traditionally have candles at the end of our service, which would be awesome, but not this year. But we're going to ask our sound guy to dim the lights a little bit so we can reflect on the lights that are here with us and the candles in front of us and just